The 100 Marathon Club by Darren Smith. I was never any good at sport. Some would argue that this is still true to this day, but at least now I do give it a go. Back at school, I was not interested, and we had football and rugby, cricket and athletics throughout the year. I never played for any A or B side for the school. The only medal I received for anything remotely sport-related was for a gymnastics display in my third year. It was bronze, but it should have been silver, and that was not because I was second, but rather that I was in the third year. You see, the fourth year members of the display team got gold medals, and the third year silver, and the first and second years got bronze. I was given the wrong medal. I'd queued up in, you know, late, obviously, and all the silvers had gone. And it annoyed me at the time, as I had to chase this freaking second year around, trying to get this medal off him when he refused to give it back. But then, quickly, I gave up. After all, it meant nothing to me. And I am not bitter at all. Grumble, 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 grumble. Having decided to run 100 marathons and above by the age of 50 suddenly became my running purpose. Some try to improve their personal bests, always going faster, focusing on speed work. Others aim to go longer. Me, it was volume, and so I needed to play catch up and up my game after 12 in 12 twice. How would I do this? In a word, or a hyphenated word anyway, multi-day. Having run two marathons in 2 days at Race to the Tower in 2018, I focused on multi-day races as I built my race calendar for 2019. I added the Pilgrim Challenge, 2 days of 33 miles a day on the North Downs Way, and the Wall, a 33-day and 36-mile day, racing across the north of the country from Carlisle to Newcastle, and my A race for the year, the Fire and Ice Ultra, 3 days and 125 kilometres across Iceland, carrying all my equipment. Add on top of that a rerunning of the Green Man Ultra, an inexplicable return to Portland Coastal, and a second outing at St. Igtyd's, and the year was going to be a predominantly muddy one on trail. It started at the Pilgrim Challenge, organised by X-Energy, with whom I raced the Amersham Ultra, my first 50k, and would later in the year run the Tring Ultra. And the Pilgrim Challenge is a 66-mile race going from Farnham to Red Hill, including the famous Box Hill Steps, and then back again. I booked myself on both days with my friend James Dunn, but as our train pulled into the station the night before, heavy snow started to fall. An overnight blizzard would be setting the scene, covering what was already a very muddy course with an additional 5 inches of snow. James was running MDS and was trying to get used to running whilst carrying his full pack. Fire and ice would be the same for me, but I opted for this one just to test my Lecky hiking poles for an entire ultra to make sure that I could use them. And the start was picturesque, to be fair. We shuffled our way through the snow and talked a bit as we took country lanes out and into the snow-covered fields. But this was meant to be a mental as well as a physical training exercise for the pair of us and for our own epic multi-day races later in the year. So we agreed to just keep going, splitting up to work on our time in head, as well as our time in feet. People seem to forget this, and when you're running a very long race, you really need to mentally prepare for it too. There would be micro climates as we went along, and we were advised to wear layers so we could strip one off when it was too hot and put it back on again when we froze. At times we would climb hellish hills, slipping on the mud churned by those who'd gone before us. And it would get progressively colder the higher we got until we reached the top and more snow. The snow, the fluffy 3 to 5 inches of it, the snowball and snowman and snow angels kind of snow, only really existed for the first 3 to 4 miles. From then, the sandy, mulchy soil replaced it. Frozen fields became soft, underfoot woodland trails. Mud appeared as we descended into a village and crossed a bridge. I nearly got lost here, starting up Catherine's Hill before being pointed the right way by a fellow runner. And I met James again a little way along from here, and he too had gotten lost, and I was glad to see a friendly face again. And that was even before I somehow managed to run in to the wonderful Michelle, who I ran Bovington, Trans Gran Canaria and St Ictids with, on her own home turf. There would be a downhill bit from here, she told me, and she was right, after tapping through 2 checkpoints, and then, as she warned, I had the infamous Box Hill steps to come. Scene of so many nightmares for so many people. I, however, had never run up or down them, and so when I saw the first set of about 25 steps, I thought to myself, well, this doesn't seem too bad. Of course, there isn't just one set of steps, is there? In one article I read, there were 275 steps. But I'm not sure that is true. I didn't count them, but it didn't seem to be that many. I just climbed them as best I could. You can only deal with what is directly in front of you. And so, one at a time, taking a breather between sets, 25 miles into the race, I kept climbing. Whoever wants to reach a distant goal must take small steps. Helmut Schmidt was right when he said that. Large strides on mud, slush or snow and ice just sends you sprawling, and bounding up a muddy, wood-edged set of steps after 7 hours on your feet just isn't sensible. So small steps it was. It was pretty early on that James and I discussed the idea of running just day one, limiting our pain and discomfort to a mere 33 hilly, muddy, icy, snowy miles, and foregoing the night on a camp bed in a school gymnasium, before repeating it and going the other way the next day. He was concerned about picking up an injury with MDS so close, and I just wasn't ready for it. I knew my limit at the time. You need to know your body. You need to know your limits. And this race is very early in the year for me. I'd only run a 5K in January leading up to it. And Zurich, but we'll talk about that later. And yes, so I would do one day. And funnily, that decision kept me going. And it allowed me the strength to keep going and keep moving forward. I did not have to keep something in reserve, in the tank, so to speak. And it even meant that after all those goddamn steps and a final climb around Reigate as the sun started setting, when a Three Pilgrims veteran told me she didn't remember it being so tough, after we'd walked through the final checkpoint and headed into a 3 mile downhill run straight to Rorick School and the finish, that I could actually run. I had enough in my legs to just go bombing down the hill, head torch on, sprinting across the line, where James was waiting for me with my medal. As I said, he had been assessing day two and had finally decided against it, as had quite a few others. Although saying this on the X Energy Instagram account, I saw a good crowd took part in day two as well, and more than fair play to them. In better weather, and if I wasn't running Portland Coastal 6 days later, I may have given it a go. Just not this time. Afterward. In the following days, I didn't recover too well. I still travelled to Portland, joining J.K. Lewis and Keith for a great drinking weekend that included a 10-hour session the day before. The boys would complete the marathon in just under 6 hours. I could have kept up with them if I pushed myself. I was only 10 minutes behind them at the turn. But truth be told, my legs didn't have it in them, and so I called it a day at the halfway point. I didn't have anything to prove in my mind. I'd also given up after one miserable, dark, cold lap of the Zurich Neujahr Marathon on New Year's Day. And so Pilgrims became a bittersweet weekend for me. With Portland, in an ideal world, I would have ticked off 4 marathons already in 2019. Zurich, Portland, and 2 at Pilgrims. But as it was, I'd only just completed 1. Albeit a particularly tough one. Next up, the Green Man Ultra.